Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to the midweek prayer and teaching gathering of Labor for Christ Word Life Center. We are excited about you joining us this month as we receive our ministerial training and insight for the LFC culture. The LFC culture. As we enter into our promised land, we are preparing. We are preparing the things within us that need to happen. And we want to remind ourselves of the 2020 prophetic declaration. So I will share that, and after I share that, then the leaders will come forth in the training. But these are the things that we must remember and keep in our minds, the scriptures that we must meditate on. We must remember that we have declared 2020 as the year of the strategic crossover, the year where we will see what the Lord has said. The word of the Lord declares, but Israel stretched out his hand and crossed his arms, laying his right hand on the head of Ephraim, the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, the firstborn. And he spoke this blessing over Joseph. That is found in Genesis 48, verse 14 and 15 in the Voice translation. We believe God is strategically speaking blessings over us in 2020 that will radically change our life. We decree we will not misfire in this season, but we will bullseye and hit our spiritual target. Our latter years are about to be greater than our former years. God has placed his hand over you, and you are headed in a new direction. God is guiding us towards his divine and strategic plan for our life. 2019 was the year of the I in Hebrew, and this year is the year of the open mouth. We ended a decade seeing, and we are beginning a decade declaring. We will declare what the Lord has said, and we will see what he is saying. We are entering a new decade and a new era of creativity. God said he, and he saw. God said, and he saw. And God saw everything that he has said, created, and that it was very good. Genesis 1 and 31. This will be the beginning of our good decade. We will behold great promises and walk in strategic blessings. God has prepared us and our families. We are declaring momentum, maturation, manifestation, miracles, and mantles over God's mission, over his mandate, and over his ministry for our lives. We declare that let the mantles of innovation, inspiration, and creation be released over us in 2020. May we walk in double, be divinely focused, and may the all-powerful hand of God be over us like we have never experienced. We pray, may God use us to bring the kingdom of this world into divine alignment with the kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We speak not only a happy new year, but a happy new you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And at this time, we are going to hear from the leadership of this house. Take notes, get your notebooks out, get your Bibles out. and be prepared to ask questions, get clarity, so that we are not confused as to what it is the Lord would have us do and what it is to look like. Prophet.
Amen. Thank you, Overseer. Appreciate you. I think this is the first time that I've heard the prophetic word and not and read it. So I was I was embracing into the into the power of that word. Thank you, thank you. Again, excuse me. Let me just make a disclaimer right away. I got some dentist work done, so if I sound a little something, it is something. If you need me to speak up, if I don't sound clear, just please let me know. But again, good evening, Blog Talk family. We're excited that you are joining us for our February Kingdom Development, Biblical Training, and Practical Growth. We've declared that for the month of February, we will excavate the Word of God and look at biblical principles for kingdom development. We will also have practical trainings for personal and public growth. We started this journey last year with our apostle, with the teaching of the wineskin, preparing us to be new and possess what God has promised for us. And we would like to continue and grow with that conversation by looking at biblical principles, having practical trainings, implementing new policies, and creating a labor for Christ culture. Your participation is very important to this development of the teachings and trainings. The expectation is for you to participate, engage, ask questions, and implement the policies and procedures that you will hear throughout the month through the teaching and the trainings. So while we are preparing to read the scripture and make our LFC declarations, we encourage you to grab your Bible, grab a pen, grab a journal, and let's begin to scribe what we are hearing the Lord say as we share and continue to maturate as a community and believing God for new momentum, fresh manifestation, unrevealed miracles and mantles to be released over our lives individually and as a community. I hope that you enjoyed last week's training. I did. I do appreciate all those who engaged, and even those who I know you're engaging silently. We do appreciate you being a part and being attentive to our Blog Talk training and lesson and teaching. Heads up, kudos to Minister Pat. I believe she participated in a practical training on Sunday and gave a scripture, and I also believe that Pastor Diane did so as well. So good job. That is one of the goals for February to look like, and for us to continue to engage and create this culture of love, this culture of one another and being open to the frequencies of heaven. As the prophetic word said, God, you have to receive the mantles that God wants to release and be open to what it is that he wants to do so that we can continue to grow. Psalms 125, 1 through 2 says, those who trust in the Lord are as unshakable, as unmovable as mighty Mount Zion. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord's wraparound presence surround his people, protecting them now and forever. So last week I told you that I just have some prayer declarations that I personally do for LFC and my own personal prayer time. And so I'm going to share them through the course of this month. And you are invited as well. If you would like them to have them, I'll make them available so you can decree and declare them as well in your own perfect time when you're praying for the church. We decree divine turnaround and declare Isaiah 54, 5 through 17. If anyone dares to stir up strife against LFC, it is not from you. Those who challenge LFC will go down in defeat. See, I'm the one who created the craftsman who fans the coals into a fire and forges a weapon fit for its purpose. And I'm the one who created a destroyer to destroy. But I promise LFC, no weapon meant to hurt LFC will succeed, and LFC will refute every accusing word spoken against LFC. This promise is an inheritance of Yahweh's servant, and their vindication is from me, says Yahweh. We command this day and decree God is ready to overwhelm LFC with more blessings than LFC could ever imagine, so that LFC will always be taken care of in every way, and LFC will have more than enough to share. We release LFC name in the womb of this earth, and we decree we walk in the authority of the Son of Man. According to 1 John 3:8 and B, LFC exists to undo and destroy the works of the devil. We pull down every demonic stronghold assigned to our promise, and we reverse the plans of the diabolical one. We release grace to those who are planted in this governmental and prophetic soil, a grace to know your will, a grace to fulfill your will, and a grace passion to do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we began the conversation about all, we began the conversation about giving, and we talked about that there probably are six kinds of giving opportunities that you will hear in our church. You will hear tithe, offering, first fruit, seed sowing, kingdom mandate offering, sacrificial offerings. And then we gave you at least six scriptures, I believe. We gave you five scriptures that are common language and what we decree. We talked about how we decree a thousandfold return. So again, those scriptures was Deuteronomy 1 and 11, 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. Deuteronomy 1:11 talks about blessing you a thousand times more. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 or 6 through 10, 9 and 8 talks about how all grace is abound towards you. We talked about Philippians 4, 15 and 20. Paul declared that when you give, it makes grace abound to your account. And Paul also in that scripture that we didn't have a whole lot of conversation, but Paul also talked about how Philippians did that sacrificial offering. They gave above and beyond. And as a result, grace abounded, or that word means expanded, into their account. And we talked about Malachi 3 and 10, how it is the scripture mandate to bring both your tithe and your offering to the storehouse, and how God will open one window and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. And we see that in operation. We see that through one idea, one McDonald's, not a room enough to receive over a billion, one Steve Jobs. From the iPhone, you got the iPod, the iPad. Now you got Apple TV, one blessing and not a room enough to receive. And then we also talked about the Luke 6:38, where God says, give, and it'll be given into your bosom. And also in Corinthians in that 9, God said, you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. But we talked about how when you give, it comes back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and men to give it to your bosom. And that word bosom is translated vision, was also translated capacity. The more men give, more you give, men give it to your capacity, and it begins to enlarge you. And so you want to have that expectation in giving. And then out of that conversation, I jotted down two revelatory things that came up that I think is very important. And one of those was, we give not out of obedience, but out of our relationship. I thought that was so very powerful. That was birthed out of our conversation. I believe that was Minister Evangelist Katie. began to point out that she is a giver, but she realized it was through obedience only. But after last week, it elevated her, and now her giving is out of her relationship. And so we give not just out of obedience, not because Corinthians says it, but we give it because we have a relationship. And then I'm not for sure who said this, but I wrote this down as well. Giving is my love response to God's covenant towards me. And so one of the ways that I continue to show God how I love him, I do it through my giving. It is my response to his ultimate covenant towards me. And you know, God is a covenant keeper. He keeps it to 1,000 generations. And so we respond to him by giving to him. So this week I am excited to talk about two things that I am passionate about as well. And we want to talk about volunteering and ministry opportunities, volunteering and ministry opportunities. And I'm going to give you, it's going to be scripture heavy from a perspective. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures, just something that you just read over that talks about what it looks like, what biblical volunteering kind of looks like. But two things that we want to excavate this afternoon, this evening, is Matthew 25, starting at verse 14, Matthew 25, verse 14. So we're going to read that, and we're going to ask those who are here who will engage and participate. We want to look at it through a couple of versions of the Bible. You know, that's one of the favorite things that I like to do. So we're going to look at Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. It is the story. It is the parable about the three men and the talents. So Matthew 25:14, starting at verse 14, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it goes all the way down to, let me pull it up real quick. It goes all the way down to verse 29. So Matthew 14 through 29, we want to look at that entire parable story and excavate that together and have conversation. And then we're going to also look at 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7, and that is the story of Paul giving Timothy the spiritual responsibility to flame those gifts that's inside of them. So let's have some conversation before we get there. Why do you believe volunteering is important? You know, what about volunteering is important to you? So that is the question on the table. And then you hear this word ministry opportunity. You may hear that oftentimes in our church culture, ministry opportunity. So the first question is, why do you think it's important for volunteers? And then the second question is, when you hear ministry opportunity, how do you define that? When you hear us say it, when you hear myself, when you hear apostle, or any of the leadership say a ministry opportunity, what do you hear when we say that? So you can volunteer to answer both, or you can answer one. And I do believe your phones is off mute. And I do believe we have people on the line. Okay, we do have people on the line. Let me just make a confirmation, right, Overseer?
Absolutely, there's at least 10 or 15 people online.
Okay, all right.
This is Pastor Marlette. When I hear ministry opportunity, I hear opportunity to work, the opportunity for God to use my gift, and an opportunity to serve, probably more an opportunity to serve. When I hear volunteer, I'm not sure what I hear. I mean, just nothing different than the regular, you know, definition of volunteering.
Okay,
that's
what's
when
the
I
regular
hear
definition?
Opportunity, I hear serve.
When you hear ministry opportunity, you hear serve, and when you hear volunteer, what do you hear? I mean, and I want us to make it spiritual. We'll have to, you know. So when you hear volunteer, what do you hear?
Work for free?
Work. Free. Free
work.
Are we combining them words together? Free work. Okay. Thank you.
You have a willingness.
Start over, Pastor Rogers.
I say when I hear volunteer, that person that's volunteering willing to come forward.
Okay. Good job. Thank you.
When I hear volunteer, I think Red Cross or a shelter, and I think passion. Volunteer equals passion for me. And it does it again, my first thought was, oh, right, to be a candy striper at Red Cross or a cross. And so volunteering is typically, in my mind, having the opportunity to do something that I am very passionate about.
I'll agree to that.
For me, volunteering is like giving an offering. It's like making a donation of sorts.
Okay, good job. Good feedback. Anyone else?
Well, when I hear someone ask for volunteers, I feel like there is a great need. Somebody needs something. And as someone else said, I'm willing to, and I never wanted somebody that had a plan for God's people and then they need volunteers, meaning God's plan needs somebody. And I never would want to see nobody take that position. It's like anything that God wants, somebody should be, as you say, willing to stand up and do it. So even in areas that, you know, we're not really sure of, but if no one says anything, that's just like on the line, on the phone line. You know, and you have to volunteer. You have to do it. It's like God is so good that any opportunity, you know, indicates there is a need. Somebody has a need. That's why everybody's on the line, you know. And so that need, if I can meet it, I am definitely willing to. And available. I'm available. And if not, I'm not available, I'm going to make myself available.
Very good. Thank you, Overseer. Good conversation. Okay, anyone else before we just give a general working definition of what the word volunteer means? And I'm shocked that most people talked about volunteer and not ministry opportunity.
Well, when I think of ministry opportunity, I think of reasonable service. Like a ministry opportunity means God wants to use my gift, calling, and anointing, and I have it because he wants to use it. So ministry opportunity is God knocking, saying, go do apples and oranges. Volunteering says, oh, wow. I definitely like Overseer's word need, but for me, volunteering is, you know what, I've always been passionate about leukemia.
Right.
And I have the opportunity to go help the children that have leukemia or something from that perspective. But ministry opportunity says, oh, God is calling. He wants that gift to be used now that he gave me.
Right. And for me, ministry opportunity is like a personal invitation for me. The volunteer is whosoever, somebody,
But that ministry opportunity means you're being invited to step up and take the mic.
All right. Good conversation. Good feedback. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So let's look at this definition. So one definition says a volunteer is a person who freely offers to take part in an enterprise or undertake a task. A volunteer is a person who freely offers to take part in an enterprise or undertake a task. The verb, that's the noun. The verb is freely offering to do something. The noun says a person who freely offers to take part in an enterprise or undertake a task. And the verb says freely offering to do something. The redefined volunteer definition, Helping Hands gave a definition, and this is their definition. Being a volunteer means that you are offering something, something that is not required nor an obligation most of the time. To volunteer means that you are working side by side with others. This connects you to other human beings as you are working towards a common goal. When you volunteer, you are making connections. So the Helping Hands gave a definition. I'll read it again. Being a volunteer means that you are offering something. Something that is not required nor an obligation. Most of the time, to volunteer means that you are working side by side with others. This connects you to other human beings as you are working towards a common goal. When you volunteer, you are making connections. All right? So let's keep that in mind. Let's keep the definitions we've had in mind and those definitions. Anyone want to comment on those?
No.
All right. Okay. So let's look at Matthew 25. And what I want us to do is we're going to look at a couple of passages of scriptures. And I want us to say, is this a volunteer or is this a ministry opportunity? And let's just have dialogue about it, how, what lens we see it in, okay? So when we look at Matthew 25, I'm going to read it out of the Voice version, and then I'm going to ask someone to read it out of a different version of the Bible immediate after me. So anyone that would like to, I don't know, is that volunteer or is that a ministry opportunity? No. So Matthew 25, verse 14, this is what the Voice version says. This is how it would be. It would be like a landowner who is going on a trip. He instructed his slaves about caring for his property. He gave 5 talents to one slave, 2 to the next, and then 1 talent to the last slave, each according to his ability. Then the man left. Promptly, the man who had been given 5 talents went out and bartered and sold and turned his 5 talents into 10. And the one who had received 2 talents went to the market and turned his 2 into 4. And the slave who had received just 1 talent, he dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Eventually, the master came back from his travels, found his slaves, and settled up with them. The slave who had been given 5 talents came forward and told his master how he turned 5 into 10. Then he handed the whole lot over to his master. Excellent. You proved yourself not only clever, but loyal. you've executed a rather small task masterfully. So now I'm going to put you in charge of something larger. But before you go back to work, come join my great feast and celebration. Verse 22. Then the slave who had been given 2 talents came forward and told his master how he turned 2 into 4, and he handed all 4 talents to his master. Excellent. You prove yourself not only clever, but loyal. You've executed a rather small task masterfully. So now I'm going to put you in charge of something larger. But before you go back to work, come join my great feast and celebration. Finally, the man who had been given 1 talent came forth. Master, I know you are a hard man, difficult in every way. You can make a healthy sum with others would fail. You profit when other people are doing the work. You grow rich on the back of others. So I was afraid, dug a hole, and hid the talent in the ground. Here it is. You can have it. The master was furious. You are a pathetic excuse for a servant. You have disproved my trust in you and squandered my generosity. You know I always make a profit. You could have at least put this talent in the bank. Then I could have earned a little interest on it. Take the 1 talent away and give it to the servant who doubled my money from 5 to 10. You see everything taken away from the man who had nothing, but the man who had something got even more. And as for the slave who made no profit but buried his talent in the ground, his master ordered his slaves to tie him up, throw him outside into the outer darkness where there is miserable mourning and great fear. That is 14 through 29.
What is the chapter?
I'm sorry. Okay, just have somebody read it out of a different version for me.
Okay. 24 out of the NT version. NET version. Oh, New English Translation. Thank you, Pat. Starting with the 14 verse. For it is like a man going on a journey who summons his slaves and entrusts his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to their ability. Then he went on his journey. The one who had received 5 talents went off right away and put his money to work and gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went out and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money in it. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled his account with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more, saying, "Sir, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master answered, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one with the two talents also came and said, Sir, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I have gained two more. His master answered, Well done, good and faithful slave. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the one talent came and said, Sir, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But the master answered, Evil and lazy slave. So you knew that I harvest where I didn't sow and gather where I didn't scatter? Then you should have deposited my money with a banker, and on my return I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For the one who has will be given more, and he will have more than enough. But the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless slave into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is that it?
Amen. All right. That was two good versions, good information. Let's excavate it. Let's talk about it real quick. Let's spend about 10 minutes. So I heard our apostle back there. So let's give our apostle the opportunity to go first.
Amen.
Jesus gave them according to what he knew they could handle. He gave them an opportunity to go beyond themselves. And they were true. They did with what they were given, and they were true to the release that was upon them. I think it represents the church. I think you could see categories of people in the church as you use this 5, 2, and 1, and what people do with what they have, and they wish they were given more, and yet they're not a good steward over what they've been given. It isn't volunteerism, because you could stop volunteering at any time. It's ministry opportunity, because it comes with expectations and responsibility. And the reward is outside of the system in which you're serving in. And the one they got, the one, well, never mind. I'll stop there. Were you looking for something else, a line by line?
No.
The five was going to reproduce at a greater number because the expectation was greater. The one that got 2 never thought he could do what the 5 did, but he knew he could do. The one that got one out of grace and returned what he was given, because he didn't aware into relationship, because he didn't understand the relationship that extended it to him. He only understood the system. So he responded to a system and not a relationship.
Amen.
Jesus was gracious in his response to all 3 of them, and he gave them according to their ability to reproduce and invest in the church. Gift callings and anointings are given according to God's allowed ability in us
to reproduce and be productive for the kingdom. So you go get it no matter what you do. It's a whole different thing, and thus the reward is according.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. Anyone else? How do we become a five-talent church? How do
well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I saw. So we talk about being good soil to sow seed. Now, I'm not talking about hiding the money in the soil. I'm talking about planting the soil to reap a harvest. And so when we think about financial systems, you don't receive money without paying back more than you borrowed. That's if you're in the lending and borrowing system. So if you receive money, you pay back more than you received. That's just how the system works. There's nobody who receives $1,000 that you don't pay back interest on that $1,000. Now, when you when you're giving money to God, He pays back with interest, and He it's not that He needs your money, but He needs you to give Him according to His financial structure, so that you can be blessed, so that we can be blessed. He set it up so that we can prosper, so that when if we don't give into the system, we won't reap a harvest. So it's basically we're tying our own hands. We're eating our own seed if we don't plant the seed as opposed to eating it. That's all I had to say.
Amen. Amen.
In dialogue. I think a couple of things, there's a couple of things that struck me, and that was the word slave and the word master, and then the word, the fact that he entrusted and he summoned, which is the invitation. So this is a ministry opportunity. He summoned. And what they ended up doing, I think, was according to what they knew about God, and so for the master. And so the one who really didn't know God very much, and he may have knew the letter of the word, but he didn't know the spirit of the word. And so he felt he was a hard taskmaster, and he's going to bury it and give it back the way he found it. But I think that the ones that had a different relationship with him became eager, because he said, and immediately they went right off and put it to work. They put it to work. And so I think part of that is a indication. I don't think they were volunteering. I think that they were summoned, so they got a ministry opportunity, and two ran with it. And the one that was given that didn't have a really good understanding, he didn't know God because of his definition of what he thought God would do. And so he responded according to his own knowledge and not to the guidance of the Holy Spirit or understanding or the power, because he said, if you didn't do anything else but put it in the bank, it would have gotten me interest. So putting it at the bank, I looked at the bank really as being the Holy Spirit. So if you didn't do nothing else but just give it back to the Holy Spirit, he'd have brought some increase from what I gave you. But you didn't even do that. You hid it so that no one would see it, you know, because you were afraid. And he doesn't give us the spirit of fear. Okay, and so all of those things kind of indicated the relation he was in, and the not understanding God's essence, the essence and the character of God, he didn't understand. And because he didn't understand it, he responded to his carnal with fear, and then trying to work it out on his own. So that's it.
Amen. Good, good, good conversation. Good feedback. Anyone else?
Overseer. When you said relationship, that made me think of the model of the tabernacle, which for me, in my study or my private contemplation time, has become a model of relationship, outer court relationship, mm-hmm. inner court relationship, holy of holy relationship. And I saw that in what you were saying, where the one talent had an outer court kind of relationship and didn't really understand or know that was their type of relationship, as opposed to one who had a better relationship and was invited to the inner court and had, you know, more responsibility, and then that person who has an inner court relationship. I'm sorry, a holy of holies kind of relationship and had even greater responsibility. That's what I saw.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Prophetess Henson, I was looking at the five dimensions and knowing also who God was, because the one with the five talents that he gave, the five talents, and he shared it. He was willing to give it up. In other words, when he went out, then he that had received the five talents went and traded. See, when you're trading something, you shared it, you're giving it away. Like we all on the phone, we're trading, we're sharing ideas so we could comprehend more, learning from one another. Where if someone just got on the phone and they just listened and tuned out everybody, but they were here but not receiving anything. And that's where the one with the one talent, I think he buried it because he tuned out everything. But I was looking at the characteristic, the power that would utilize, and the purpose of what the kingdom of heaven, how God said, is as a man traveling into a far country. So when you're going somewhere and you have no idea what's going on, you basically kind of trust people. He said, who called his own servant. So this man is, we know, I look at the man as being Jesus, the owner. And he calling the servants to be able to take care of his land. And he gave them the ability, or the training that they had spent the time with him, they should have known, I put it that way. They should have known what he wanted them to do. But if you read the word all the time and you don't share it, then it's not going to benefit you or nobody else. You'll have all that knowledge on the inside, but it's not, you're not, how can I say it? I'm thinking too fast. But if you're not producing, what's the purpose? Because if we learn all of this and we don't do what God has given us to do, if we don't become doers of the word, then what's the purpose? And in essence, you won't gain anything. Did you understand what I was saying?
I'm receiving.
Did you put it together for us?
I'm receiving. I'm listening. Good. Thank you. Good. Good.
Because that's good when we're sharing it, when you're sharing with others, that's when you gain power. You know, if two can walk together much better than one, because two, four eyes, you know, you can see more. The more in numbers, there's always a greater benefit.
Amen. So I think one of thank you everyone for helping us excavate and dig into this scripture. I think it is very enlightening. One of the reasons why I wanted us to look at this particular scripture was to you know, the King James Version says that it gives this parable, and it talks about that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And we understand that the kingdom of heaven is how God does his will in the earth. So it is the process, the event on how God governed his will to be manifest in the earth as it is originally written in heaven. So the kingdom of heaven is us not coming to heaven, it is heaven coming to us. And so I think that it is so important for us to look, even as Apostle has said, that God in his graciousness understands where each and every one of us is at. And a word that the voice brought out, he said that that one who had five, it said he promptly moved. And I think that that is one of the things that, you know, I want, that is our word. We have been declaring what? Momentum. And so how is God trying to bring the will, how is God trying to bring his will in the earth through you, through of the vehicle of labors for Christ? We are so gracious with an apostle who provides space, who provides opportunity, who has a vision and allows the will of God to operate in us, whether you are a five, whether you are a two, or whether you are a one. And so I'm excited that we have that kind of culture. We have that kind of ministry where we can operate within. And I believe, and I could be wrong, but part of what Overseer said was, I wonder, do the two oftentimes bury because they see the five? And I don't want us to be that kind of culture, understanding that don't let the five who you see with five, or may deem as five or deem as a two, and you take your one and you hide it. The five, the two, and the one is important because it is how the will of God is done in the earth. And so the master was just in telling the one, you are wicked, you go to the outer darkness, because he understood the process, he equipped him and gave him all that he needed to do his one. And so one of the, what we said within the conversation is, how do we then become a five talent church? And that may be, maybe we're not. You work with the five, the two, and the one. Or how do we understand that we are, our passion is to be a five and a two, and to make sure that we are fully operating within the gift, talents, and anointing that God has placed over our lives. Okay, so I want to read two more passages of scriptures, just kind of keep it with thought, and then I want to share something with you, and then we can kind of go from there. So listen to this particular passage of scripture as well. And this is Isaiah 59, 16 through 18, and then I'm going to also read Isaiah 6. And we're talking about this volunteering or ministry opportunity. Is it, what is it? So here it is, Isaiah 59, 15 through 16. This is out of the Voice Version. It says, there is no truth telling anymore, and anyone who tries to do right finds he is the next target. It's true. The Eternal One saw it all, and was undisturbably perturbed at the absence of justice. God looked long and hard, but there wasn't a single person who tried to put a stop to the injustice and lies. So God took action. His own strong arm reached out and brought salvation. His own righteousness, good and pure, sustained him. So I think the King James just says this: he looked for an intercessor and couldn't find one. So he did it himself. And then let's look at Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 chapter, that's a familiar passage of scripture as well. We can focus on the entire, but we can also look at verse 8, which is kind of a familiar verse that we know, and I will read it out of the King James just for familiarity conversation. But Isaiah 6, starting at verse 1, Isaiah 6, verse 1 says, "In the same year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a grand throne up and high." That is not the King James. That is definitely the voice. But in the year King Uzziah died, he said, "I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and a train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twine he covered his face, and with twine he covered his feet, and with twine he did fly. And one he cried unto another. He said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, who earth is full of glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in the hand, which had taken with the tongs from the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, he hath touched my lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? Then I said, I, here am I, send me. And verse 9, he said, Go and tell the people, hear indeed, but understand not, and yes, you indeed, but perceive not. And then he began to give him those instructions. So I wanted us to look at those particular passages of scriptures just due to time, see whether we see that as ministry opportunity or volunteerism. So I want to keep that in mind. But what I want to do point out is this. There's over 30 serving opportunities for heirs and ministries within Laborers for Christ. And I'm not for sure if everyone knew that. There are over 30 serving opportunities. You can serve as administrator, altar ministry, adjutant, armor bearer, baptism ministry, Bible study, instructor, spiritual growth development, children, youth ministry, Christian education and counseling, dancing, drama, evangelism, mission, finances, accounting, food pantry, grant writing, food raising ministry, healing, deliverance team, hospitality, intercessor, prayer, legal, marketing, advertising, public relations, media, medical, men's, music, new members, nursing, pastoral care, spiritual outreach, praise and worship, prophetic pastry, security, spiritual life enrichment, special events planning, usher ministry, doorkeeping, women ministry. So there are serving opportunities at Laborers for Christ. And we have this availability. And so one of the things we want to look at is how do we, number one, become more intentional in our volunteering and not having the same volunteers, but also how do we begin to sign up and be a part of ministry opportunities within our own church, within our own community, and how do we then begin to prepare? I wanted us to look at Timothy, because Paul told Timothy, you have a spiritual responsibility to stir up the gift that's inside of you. He said it was given to you at the laying hands on hands. He said, flame those gifts. And so part of our training is you taking some ownership of the community you live in. And if you are not aware of, then let's begin to have those dialogues. Let's have those conversations. Let's set up opportunities to speak to leadership and says, this gift is in me. This talent is inside of me. How does this talent fit? How can we utilize this talent? And a lot of us are leaders. We are a leadership church. We are a leadership ministry. So we have two questions. Number one, and this is just, we can discuss this later. You can write it down and pass it to someone on Sunday if you want to. Why don't you volunteer? What is the hindrance? Is it I lack training? I don't feel equipped. I'm not sure if I'm educated. Oh, my God, I didn't know we had a women's ministry. You know, I didn't know. I didn't know we had a man's ministry. So we want to begin to have those kind of conversations, have those dialogues. I didn't know that I could be a doorkeeper. I wasn't sure that was a real ministry that we had. I didn't know that was a serving opportunity. I didn't know that I can read a scripture on Sundays. So let's start having those kind of conversations. We are preparing. One of the emphasis on last year was being new wine skins, preparing ourselves to serve a community, being a part, being intentional about being equipped and educated and knowing. And so we may have to continue this particular training and conversation on next week, but that's the mindset that we are encouraging you to grow in and to be a part of. And we'll look at what are the ministry opportunities that we have at Laborers for Christ that we can begin to talk about and begin to develop and say, you know what, I am connected to that. Because we said a volunteer was an individual that was what? Who understood, who had a common goal, or I believe, I like what Apostle said, that they had a passion. I like how the Helping Hand said that it was working towards a common goal. You are passionate about evangelism, probably like someone else in the building. So how do we work? Oh, it says work side by side with others. It is the connectivity of human beings. So how do we connect? How do we enterprise undertake? How do we, as a ministry opportunity, understand that you have the gift of God inside of you, that you've not flamed? You have the gift according to what the Master have given you, and have you hid it? And then let's talk about why. Let's get you from out of that two mind, from hiding, and let's begin to exercise the gifts and the talents, the anointings that's in our lives. One thing that I appreciate about our apostolic leader is it's not an Apostle Shanette's vision. It is a vision from the Lord. And so I have said this, I have been blessed to live out the gifts and talents in me through the vehicle of Laborers for Christ, through the vehicle of Salvation Army, through the vehicle of UCAN. God provided space. He provided opportunity that what he put in me can be utilized. And so I always want to be out of five, you know, so that's just me. But appreciate this time of training, appreciate your conversation, appreciate you giving back, and let's continue to build on this momentum. Anything else, Apostle?
No, I think this is a phenomenal place to be at. We are pulling up some of the most recent ministry opportunities, so that whether they are ministry opportunities or opportunities to volunteer, they definitely can become part of our prayer focus, that as we do this, you know, I can be praying that God would, you know, that something like this will be birthed in the hearts and minds of the leaders at our church. And it, out of it, people's passion and purpose would arise, and they would take ownership of it and go. And so I'm excited about the direction that this is, that's emerging out of it. So as we're doing this, you know, as people have ideas of possible ministry opportunities or, you know, something that they would like to do, I think this is a phenomenal time to submit them. And, you know, maybe there's something that's listed that was a part of old wineskin that as new wineskin is present now, we need to look at something new or some, yeah. So, yeah, I'm very, very, very encouraged and excited, and looking to embrace it and looking forward to see what emerges.
All right, so I'm going to give you, I know some of you are like, you part of Monday, Friday, Wednesday, so you probably all over life work. But this is an easy thing, okay? I just want you to Google March Madness, March Madness. Any people who are sports, you kind of know that. So Google March Madness, and we're gonna talk about, when you heard about March Madness, it's definitely a basketball thing. What did that look like? And we will continue that conversation on next week for March Madness, all right? So, good. Thank you. Enjoy doing revelational conversation with you. Enjoy doing life with you. I am excited about where we are growing as a ministry. Overseer said last week, text somebody and say, were you on the phone on Wednesday? And let's begin to encourage individuals to be a part. Again, like we said earlier, the expectation is for you to engage and to participate. Thank you for those who are doing it. We want you to share so that we can know how to maturate as a community. And as you share, I've been hearing unrevealed miracles each week as each person has opened their mouth and just allow what's in them come forth. So again, thank you. Keep looking at those particular passages of scripture. Let's prepare and say, all right, I think Isaiah was a volunteer, or that was a ministry opportunity, or that intercessor scripture, that was definitely a ministry opportunity. So let's start that conversation. We will continue this training on next week. We will do some practical things as well. So let's be prepared for that. Pray to see you this Saturday. At 12, from 12 to 3, the Men Cave will do our annual First Love Banquet at 1750 West 103rd Street at Bethany Union in the Fellowship Hall from 12 to 3 p.m. Invite someone who is unchurched. Invite an individual who may have backslidden, someone who is in between and let's say, hey, I want to take you to lunch. So invite somebody out, say, hey, I want to do lunch. Can I take you somewhere to lunch on Saturday? And don't tell them where you're going. Invite them to come out. They'll have a nice meal, and then they will have fellowship and an opportunity to hear something powerful, and their heart will be pricked. Also, don't forget, Sunday, we worship at 2:30, and so we will see you at 1750 West 103rd Street at 2:30. Fire starters start at 2:15. They come in ready to pray, read scripture, praise, worship, set in the atmosphere so that we can experience the miraculous. Any other announcements? All right. No other. If you have not purchased your ticket, your $35 ticket to the Apostolic Prep Breakfast, you want to do that immediately. This prep breakfast is buffet style, so remember that. Invite people to come out to be a part of that as well. Tickets will be available Sunday, correct, Apostle?
Yes, they're already available.
Tickets are available. They will be
available. No, they're already available. They can purchase them on Saturday at the First Love Banquet. So that you can call and get them. So they are currently available.
Tickets are available. Purchase your $35 ticket. Again, it is at the Hilton on 95th Street. And it is a buffet. So invite someone who has not been a part of the AEN prayer breakfast before. Let this be their first time to come out and experience that network. All right, if no other announcements, again, God bless you. Thank you, Father. We thank you for what you are doing in our lives individually and collectively. Thank you for this opportunity to maturate. Thank you for the momentum, the manifestation, the miraculous, and the mantles that are falling on our lives. Thank you that we are in this crossover season, and you have declared that you are blessing us, and we give you all glory, all honor, all praise for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Praise
God
the Lord.
Bless you. See you soon.
Amen.